So we start speaking about algorithms for unconstrained optimization. We've seen optimality conditions, and I'll show you that algorithms are based on the basic optimality condition. And you will see how these algorithms are related to the topics of the numerical analysis Professor Bevilacqua talks to. I will introduce you some algorithms, and then he will use them to solve linear system, proposing some variants, and then I will exploit these variants to enlarge the class of problems we can solve. In any case, the framework is always the same, so we wish to find the minima of this function f, which goes from Rn to R, which we suppose to be, let's say, continuously differentiable or twice continuously differentiable according to what we need, okay? When we need second order derivatives, we will suppose the function is twice continuously differentiable. If we need just a first order derivative, we may assume that it's just differentiable or continuously differentiable, okay? So I will not spend time in changing the assumption. We have functions which are as smooth, as regular, as we need. Okay? We have learned that the basic optimality condition is the fact that at a point, the gradient is the zero vector. Okay? If x bar is a local minimum point of P, or equivalently of f over the full space, then the gradient has to be zero. Okay? And points which satisfy the condition are called stationary points. Actually, algorithms are designed and able to compute stationary points. Okay? So not necessarily, they do not necessarily lead to the computation of an actual minimum point or local minimum point. They compute stationary points in the case in which f is a convex function, it's the same thing as minima. Okay? But in general, the algorithms compute stationary points. Okay? We will try to design algorithms in such a way that it is more likely that they are minima rather than maxima. Okay? But the guarantee of minimality is just when f is convex. Which kind of algorithms we are going to design? We are going to design iterative algorithms. It means that we will generate a sequence of points, x1, x2, let's say xk in Rn. Okay? And one property that we would like to have is that we design descent algorithms. What does this mean? Well, I start from a point x0, then I would like x1 to be a better point than x0, and better means that the value of the function is smaller. So I would like that f at x1 is less than f at x0, that f at x2 is less than f at x1, and so on. Okay. If you want to write this in general, that f at xk plus 1 is smaller than f at x. Okay? So, we try to design algorithms with this descent property, combined with the fact that we aim at stationary points, that should make it likely to get to a minimum point rather than to a maximum point or a set of points. Actually, there is also a weaker condition of descent, which we won't use actually open, which states that rather than being the next point a better point, we may also agree that after some iterations we get a better point. Okay? So there exists some n such that at least after m iteration I get a better point. This is also called non-monotone descent algorithm. Lecture was 20 minutes ago, not now. In fact, to be on time, please. Okay. What we would like, generally, is that this sequence is a finite sequence, that the algorithm stops after a finite number of iterations with some xk, let's say xk bar, which is a stationary point. Okay? This is what we would like most to have. But this is very rare situation. Okay? We will see just one case in which this happens. Okay? It means finite convergence. It means that after some iteration, I end up with a point which is a stationary point. Okay? But this is not what happens generally. And generally, algorithms generate an infinite sequence of points, okay? An infinite sequence of iterations, unless we stop the algorithm for some reason, okay? And the analysis of convergence of the algorithm is sometimes an asymptotic analysis. So, we want to know, to understand the behavior of the sequence in the limit. There are at least three types of convergence we would like to have. The first thing is that the sequence has a limit. Let's say there exists a point in Rn, which is the limit of the sequence generated by the algorithm. And the limit point x bar is a stationary point. Okay? Okay, we generate the sequence converges, and the limit of the sequence is a stationary point. Weaker asymptotic kind of convergence, the sequence may not converge to some point x bar, may not have a limit, but each cluster point of the sequence is a stationary point. And even worse than this, I could get that not every cluster point is a stationary point, but at least one cluster point is a stationary point. Of convergence, we would like to prove one of these three statements. Okay? We would like to prove the first one, I, or if I is too hard to achieve, we may end up being happy with the second one, double I, which is weaker. Okay? Because if the sequence as a limit, it has just one cluster point, and so if I is true, also double I is true. Okay? But we may not be able to prove this, so we may end up being happy with proving this other thing. If we cannot even manage to prove this, then we will be, let's say, a bit satisfied, at least if we can prove the third statement, which is even weaker. If we can prove cycle I, that means that at least one cluster point is a stationary point. Okay? We will see somehow a weaker version of the first condition today, and then generally what we will manage to prove is this intermediate kind of convergence. Okay? We generally will be able to prove that every cluster point of the sequence we generate is a stationary point. Okay? In one or two cases, we will be able only to prove the existence of a cluster point. Okay? One relevant remark. This is a theoretical analysis of algorithms. Okay? What you can mathematically prove. Okay? The behavior in practice is very different. I mean, generally we don't manage to prove that the sequence has a limit. Okay? And so we will end up proving that every cluster point is a stationary point. But when you go to practice, generally the algorithms, the whole sequence converges. Okay? If you want to find an example where actually the sequence does not converge, or the sequence is such that one cluster point is stationary but other cluster points are not, you have to build them with care. They are tricky examples. Okay? What you generally have in practice when you code an optimization algorithm, generally, you get the first step. You get the sequence, which is convergent, and the limit is a stationary point. Even if you cannot prove it mathematically, okay? There is this gap between theory, what you can prove, and practice, what happens Okay? So, we will do the mathematical analysis of convergence, but in practice, you always end up with the good situation. Okay? Is it clear? How are we going to build these sequences? Okay, there is a general scheme to build this sequence of points. The new point, let's say xk plus 1, the k plus 1 point, is generally given by the previous point, xk, plus some step along the direction. Okay, so tk is a number, dk in Rn is a direction. Okay, so generally the way we will describe algorithm is this one. Okay, the new point is the old point plus some step along a direction. Okay? So, a description of algorithms will be given how I choose a direction, and how I choose the step along the direction. Okay? Then tk is called the step size, the dimension of the step, okay, the length of the step. So you are generally in a point, xk, you take a direction dk, and you move to xk plus 1, taking a step along this direction, okay? This vector is dk. This other vector, I need mu strokes, is dk times dk. Okay? So this is the scheme. Almost every algorithm I will describe is made this way. Okay? A simple remark. Actually, since here, the step is greater or equal than zero, is not any number, okay? Because if it is negative, you are moving on the opposite direction, okay? So the step is greater or equal than zero. So when we speak about a direction, we generally suppose that the norm of the vector is 1. Actually here, you don't even need to care about that it is a unitary vector, because you can somehow move, okay, the factor that makes it unitary to the step size. Okay? Even if this is not a unitary vector, you just change accordingly the step size. Okay? So actually, let's say direction in an extended way. Okay? And you will, I hope you will understand it in the next hour, what I mean here. Okay? Yeah, I should take a unitary direction, but then even if the direction is longer, I simply shorten the step size. Or if the direction is not unitary but shorter than a unitary vector, I just dilate the step. Okay? They provide the same vector. What is really important is this is this quantity. Okay? This is not unitary, to get the same new point, you simply scale the step size. Okay? Questions? Is it clear? Okay? This is the starting point. Okay? And I'm going to introduce you the most basic and most well-known algorithm, or class of algorithms, which are the so-called gradient methods. What I want is to build a descent algorithm. So I want that the value of the function in the new point is smaller than the value of the function at the given point. Okay? So I need to find somehow a direction which allows me to decrease the value of the function, moving along that direction. Okay? So let's say it has a definition. Let's say that this in Rn is a descent direction, for my given function f at a given point f, if f at x plus td is smaller than f at x, whenever, let me write it informally, t is small enough. If I can move from the point along the direction, at least for a bit, okay, decreasing the value of the function, I call the direction a descent direction. Okay? Allows me to go down. Okay, imagine you are on some points of a hill, okay? You look in this direction and the hill is going this way. This is not a descent direction. You look that way, the hill is going down. Okay, that is a descent direction. Even if after sometimes the path goes up again. Okay? Shortly, let's say in any neighborhood of the point, you move along that direction and you go down. Okay? So the basic idea is to move along the same directions. The question is, how do I compute, how do I find a descent direction? Okay? Well, I give you a sufficient condition. If this happens, then B is a descent direction for S at the given X point.
So if the scalar product between the direction and the gradient of the function at x is negative, then I'm facing a descent direction. Why? Why is this true? Well, we know the following. We know that, what is this quantity? This quantity is the directional derivative of f in direction d. Okay? We did not prove it. I told you we can prove this, and you have the proof in the notes. So this quantity is the directional derivative. So it's the directional derivative of f in direction d at x. But what is this? This, by definition, is the limit for t that goes to zero of f at x plus td minus f at x divided by t. Okay? Where d and x are given, and I make the limit over t. Okay? If this is true, this limit is negative. Okay? So it means that this quantity has to be negative if t is small enough. Okay? If the limit is negative, definitely your argument is negative. Okay? So, take it for t positive. If t is close enough to zero, this has to be negative. If t, I take t positive, then the numerator has to be negative. So, this means that f at x plus td has to be smaller than f at x whenever t is positive and small enough, which is the definition. Okay? So, the concrete way to identify a descent direction is to compute this scalar product. Let's give it a geometrical meaning. I have a vector, who is the gradient, and I have a vector v, and I have a vector d. Where should it be d for the scalar product to be negative? Okay. Which of the two is fine? D. Okay? The angle. So you have two vectors in a line. Okay? There is a plane, bidimensional plane in a line, which contains the two vectors. Okay? The scalar product is negative if the angle they form is greater or equal than 90 degrees. Okay? Than pi over 2. Okay? Okay, so I want to move along a direction which has this property. Okay? And notice that asymptotically, this value provides me an indication of how much I'm going down. The more this is negative, the more this incremental ratio has to be negative. Okay? The more this has to be smaller than this, if t is greater than zero. Okay? So actually, I would like this to be as small as possible. Okay? Oh, but I have to be careful of one thing. Suppose that this quantity is negative, okay? And then, well, I would like, so, to take the D, which provides the minimum value of this scalar product. Okay? So, actually, I would like to solve this problem. I have to choose D in such a way that this quantity is minimum. Okay? This is a linear function. These are the coefficients. Well, unluckily, if this is negative, then I consider the scalar product with Td. Okay? This is T times the scalar product I had before. Okay? If I let t go to plus infinity, since this is negative, this goes to minus infinity. Okay? So, unless this minimum is greater or equal than zero, it is minus infinity. Okay? The problem is unbounded by below. Okay, so this is not the right way to choose the best direction. Okay, because when I multiply by a number the direction, okay, I get a better point. So here it makes sense once again to consider not all those directions, but the directions in Rn which have unitary nodes. Okay. Indeed, I want to make a small enough step. Okay. So, and I'm interested in the incremental ratio, which means t is going to zero. Okay. So I don't mind if I take t or 2 times t. Okay. Then I can change the step size and go back to the previous situation. Okay. So I would like to solve this problem. Okay? And indeed, this problem has a solution. Okay? Why does it have a solution? Well, first of all, we are not on the full space. We are taking just the vectors whose norm is unitary. So we are on the border of the unit ball. Okay? So this is a compact set because it is inside a closed ball. Okay? It is closed as it is inside a closed ball. The objective function is linear, so it is a continuous function. We are minimizing a continuous function over a compact set. So we have Weierstrass theorem telling us that minima exist. Okay? Lecture number 2, I guess. In September. So, this problem is well defined. Okay? How do I solve it? Let's say such that the norm of D is unitary. How do I solve it? Do I have the tools to solve this problem or not?
Well, it's an optimization problem. We are studying optimization. I taught you optimality conditions, but I taught you optimality condition for unconstrained optimization. Okay? This is a constraint problem. So, you should tell me, hey, we don't have the tools to solve this. Okay? But actually, this is a very easy case, okay? Because I'll show you a simple trick. The trick is the following: the scalar product of two vectors from linear algebra is the product of their norms. Times the cosine of the angle which the two vectors form. Okay? So, this problem can be equivalent to written this way. I replace the objective function with this formula which provides the same value. Okay, let's check one thing. The norm of this one, so it disappears. Okay, this is a constant value. Okay, so here I have this norm, but this norm is a constant value. What is changing? The angle. Okay, so I'm looking for the angle. Okay, angles we can take them from 0 to 2 times t. Okay? Otherwise we are doing the very same angles. But, okay, the function is the cosine. Which is the minimum value for the cosine? Minus 1. Yeah? And when I get minus 1? When the angle is 180 degrees or pi. Okay? Pi greco. So, this minimum is met when the cosine is minus 1, or equivalently when theta is 180 degrees or pi. Okay? So the solution is this one. Okay, I want to go back here. When is it that the angle is pi? Here. Okay, I will make the draw one. Okay. This is the gradient. This is the vector. This is the angle. I want the angle to be pi, so I want it to be here. Okay? So, D is collinear to the gradient on the same line, but with the opposite direction. Okay? So, D is minus the gradient of S at X. And since we are here taking unitary norm, we simply divide by its norm. Oh, be careful. You can divide by its norm if it is different from zero. Okay? But if the gradient is zero, I'm not interested in the problem. Okay? If the gradient is zero, I have already won. Okay? So, indeed this would be zero. So this function would be the zero function, so wouldn't be interesting. If the gradient is not zero, the direction which provides the maximum asymptotic degree is minus the gradient, okay? Divided by its norm if you want it to be unitary. Okay? This is something you have probably heard of. Oh, time to take a break. That the gradient of a function points in the direction of maximum increase. Or equivalently, the minus the gradient points in the direction of maximum asymptotic degree of a function. Okay? So that is the information the gradient gives you. Okay? So, one choice here could be to take dk to be minus the gradient of f at the current point xk. Okay? And as I argued earlier, I don't need to divide by its norm. Okay? Because I will somehow scale the step size accordingly. The question is, how do I choose the step size? Okay? Now, I make this choice for the direction. How do I choose this? Okay, I want to be greedy. I take the value for which this point gives the minimum value to the function. Okay? This is fixed, this is fixed. I search the step size, which provides the maximum degrees. Okay? Okay, let's say it this term. I choose pk positive such that f at xk plus pk dk is minimum. Once I have chosen the direction, I can take the step in this way. Okay? So this is a possible way to make a first algorithm. I choose minus the gradient as the direction, and I make the best possible step size I could take along that direction. Okay? So, we take a 5-minute break, and then I will start from here, and I make this reasoning formal. Okay?